Okay. Last week, towards the end of this year, we started the very end of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Melech Oizer Moshiach Umogen. King, Hashem is our King, our Helper, Savior, and Protector. And then we conclude, Baruch Ato Hashem, Blessed are you Hashem, Mogen Avraham, the Protector of Avraham, or the Shield of Avraham. So I mentioned that the Rebbe Avraham ben Agra explains the three what seem to be synonymous terms that I mentioned here. Oizer, Moshiach, Umogen. Helper, Savior, and Protector. He explains that really they mean three different things. A helper means that I am doing part of the work, and when someone helps me, they are my helper. A savior means that I'm in trouble, right? I'm not doing anything. And someone else is coming along and saving me. So he's not my helper. I'm not doing anything to it. I'm not doing anything. Helper is only relevant when I'm doing something, a person is helping me do it. But if I'm not doing anything, and someone comes along and saves me, so that's a savior, not a helper. A protector is when someone knows that he's going into enemy territory, and they take someone along as their protector, right? So that person is not a helper or a savior, he's a protector. So the Rav Ram ben Agra says that there are three levels of bitachon, three levels of a person's trust in Hashem. There are people that trust that Hashem is their oizer, that Hashem is their helper. Meaning, I do my shtadlis, I put in my effort, and Hashem helps me. I'm doing part of it, and Hashem is doing the rest. So, that is, for those people, Hashem is their oizer, Hashem is their helper. And then, there are those that have bitachon, I'm not doing anything. The Rabbeinu Shloilam is, the Rabbeinu Shloilam takes care of me. Now, if somebody truly has that level of bitachon, they really don't have to do anything. If a person truly believes that the Rabbeinu Shloilam will take care of me, then the Rabbeinu Shloilam will take care of them. The Rabbeinu Shloilam is their Moshiach. The Rabbeinu Shloilam is their savior. Most people don't have that level of bitachon, and that is why we need to put in whatever effort we feel necessary. Because the Rabbeinu Shloilam will come through according to how much we trust in him. So if we trust that he is an oizer, then he'll be an oizer. If we trust that he's a Mashiach, then he'll be a Mashiach. And then there's another level of bitachon, which is a higher level of bitachon, that someone will even go into dangerous territory for Hashem's sake, knowing that if I'm going for Hashem's sake, Hashem will take care of me. And that is where Hashem is the protector. Avraham Avinu, we find, went to save his nephew Lot. Avraham Avinu knew that that was the right thing to do, despite the fact that he was placing himself in terrible danger. He was one person against four kings. And as a result, Hashem is called Magen Avram, the protector of Avram. Avram Avinu had that level of bitochen of Magen. Mibsach al tesalim. There's Pidyon Shvuyim. There's But you have to have that level of bitachon that Avraham Avinu had. It says that actually is the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. It says that when Avraham Avinu was saved from Kedar Lo'emer and his friends from the four kings, the Malachi Ashura said, "Baruch Ato Hashem Magen Avraham." The angels made this bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Magen Avraham. So you see that the title Magen Avraham, that Rabbi Yishlam is the protector of Avraham, was at that time when Avraham Avinu put himself into a dangerous situation. There's another medrash that says that the angel said this bracha baruch ata Hashem magen Avraham when Hashem saved him from Urkazim, from the fire, when Nimrod threw him into the fire, into the furnace, and he was saved. That's when the angel said magen Avraham. Once again, it was a time that Avraham Avinu placed himself in danger for Hashem's sake, and Hashem came through for him. And that is when the title magen Avraham comes into place. There's an interesting, there's a pasuk in Parashas Hazino. Vayavai Moshe vayidaber es kol divrei hashira hazois. This is after the Shiras Hazino. It says, Moshe came and he spoke the words of this song, Ba'oznei Ha'am, in the ears of the nation. Hu ve'Hoshea ben Nun. He, Moshe, and Hoshea ben Nun. So Rashi says, Shabbos shel diyuzi ha'isa. That Shabbos was a Shabbos with two leaders. Moshe Rabbeinu was transferring over to Yeshua, and that Shabbos, which was the last Shabbos of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, was called Shabbos Shel Diyuzgi. It was a Shabbos of two leaders. Nitla Reshus Mizeh V'Nitna Lazeh. The leadership was taken away from Moshe, given to Yeshua. So we need to get some kind of understanding what that means, Shabbos Shel Diyuzgi. But what's really bothersome in this pasuk is that Yeshua is called Hoshea. In Parsha Shlach, Moshe Rabbeinu changed his name. Ha'ikra Moshe, Hoshea ben Nun Yeshua. He changed Hoshea's name to Yeshua. Rashi's bothered. V'olma kereu kan Hoshea. So Rashi has his approach. And I'd like to suggest perhaps another understanding why he's called Hoshea here. There's a Gevaldik Chassam Sofer. There's a machlokes in beginning of Masechtas Tanis. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. When we start saying Mashav Urach Mori Dagesha, Rabbi Eliezer holds that we begin saying Mashav Urach Mori Dageshem the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we don't start the first day of Sukkot, we start on Shemini Atzeres. Why? Because we don't want rain on Sukkot. Rain on Sukkot is a siman klala. So we're not gonna mention rain on Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres. We're no longer sitting in the Sukkah. Then we mention that Hashem makes the wind blow and the rain descend. So Rav Yeshua seems to be very logical, right? We don't want it to rain, so we start on Shmini Atzeres. What is Rav Yeshua's reason? What is Rav Eliezer's reason? Says Chassam Sofer, because it says, the Mishnah says, Bechag nidoinim alamayim. On Sukkis, we are judged for water. Meaning, we are judged on how much it's going to rain this year. So, there is no greater time to daven for rain than on Sukkis. That is when we're judged for rain. So, if the Ezra holds, you need to daven for rain on Sukkis. What? It's Pashas, it means all Sukkis. The Zohar says it's the Gemara Chasima is on the Shana Rabba. So you need to daven for it on Sukkis. That's what the other says. If Yeshua says, you're right. This is the Chassam Sofer explains. If Yeshua says, you're right, Rabbi Eliezer. The best time to daven for rain is on Sukkis. But it's going to interfere with our mitzvahs. We need to be prepared to sacrifice our rain for the sake of the Rabbanu Shlomo's mitzvahs. So therefore, even though it is the best, the most opportune time to daven for rain is on Sukkot, and Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that it's the best time to daven for rain, but we're not going to do it because it's going to interfere with our mitzvahs. Our mitzvahs are more important than our panos. And the halachas like Rabbi Yeshua, we daven, we don't mention Masha Baruch Mar de Geshe. I'd like to suggest, based on this Chassam Sofer, that this is the reason why there's Nisuch HaMayim on the Mizbeach on Sukkis. Why we pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkis. Because on Sukkis, we're sacrificing our water. We're giving up our water for the Rabbanu Shalom's mitzvahs. That's the best carbon a person can give. We're sacrificing our water for the Rabbanu Shalom. And Chassam Sofer says that the mitzvah of sukkah, therefore, is the greatest expression of forfeiting our gashmias for the sake of our ruchnias. We're forfeiting our water for the sake of the Rabbanu Shalom's mitzvahs. But the truth is that we're not forfeiting anything. Because if we show the Rabbanu Shleilam that we believe that, or truth is, if we truly believe that the Rabbanu Shleilam is the one giving us our parnasa, so then it's obvious that the more we do for the Rabbanu Shleilam, the more we'll get. So if we don't daven for rain on Sukkis because it's going to interfere with our mitzvahs, meaning it's for the Rabbanu Shleilam's sake, that can't possibly interfere with our pranasa. Because our pranasa is supplied by the Rabbanu Shleilam. But the truth is that this concept really boils down to so many different areas of our life. Sometimes we feel that we have to give up our Seder and learning because we have to go for Parnosa, or we have to give up Davening Meminyan because we have to go. Who do you think is giving you your Parnosa? Where do you think it's coming from? How is it possible that you're giving up Davening with a Minyan is going to bring you more Parnosa? How is it possible you're giving up a Seder is going to... And this across the board, working on Chalamoy, it's something we constantly need to remind ourselves. Who is giving us our parnasa? And the more we show our loyalty to the one who's giving us our parnasa, to the real boss, the more parnasa we'll have. So now we understand Rabbi Yeshua very well, right? Rabbi Yeshua, right, it's totally logical. The Rabbanu Shlomo is the one giving us our parnasa, and he says to sit in the sukkah. So we don't want rain, so we're not going to ask for rain. What's Pshat and Rabbi Eliezer? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you need to ask for rain in the beginning of Sukkot? Because that's the most opportune time to ask for rain. So now let's take a step back to what we spoke about before. Oizer Moshia Umagen. Right, so we had Avraham ben Agra explained that Oizer means that the Rebbeinu Shalom is my helper. I do put in the effort, the Rebbeinu Shalom helps me. Moshia means I do nothing, the Rebbeinu Shalom saves me. Now, if we look into this a little bit deeper, Oizer, this midah of Oizer that Rebbeinu Shlom helps us, is midas hadin, is the attribute of justice. You put in the effort, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I'll help you. So Oizer is midas hadin, the attribute of justice. Moshiach is not din, you didn't do anything. You don't deserve anything. Because you didn't put in any effort. That's the attribute of Rachman. The Rebbeinu Shlom has compassion. The Rebbeinu Shlom sees you're in trouble. The Rebbeinu Shlom saves you. Mogain is not only did you not do anything, but you put yourself into danger. That's the attribute of Chesed. So we have Din, Rachman, and Chesed. Oizen, Mashiach, and Mogain. And Avraham Avinu, as we know, was the Av of Midas HaChesed. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogen Avraham. Now we have another machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Very famous machlokes. Whether B'Tishrei Nivra Olam or B'Nisan Nivra Olam. When was the world created? Rabbi Eliezer says the world was created in Tishrei. And Rabbi Yeshua, the world was created in Nisan. We paskin, like Rabbi Yeshua, once again, the world was created in Nisan. What is the machlokes? Rabbi Eliezer holds that the world was created with Midas HaDin. Tishrei, as we know, is the month of Din. Rabbi Eliezer holds the world was created with Din. And the world needs to be conducted with din. Rabbi Shua says, no, the world was created with chesed. Nisan is the month of chesed. Yitzias Mitzrayim was chesed. And therefore, our conduct needs to reflect that. That is how the world is to be conducted. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, now that we understand that Oizer is Midas HaDin, Rebbe Eliezer is called Eliezer because it means Keli Ozar. Means Eliezer means Hashem helps me. It comes from the word Oizer. Because Rebbe Eliezer holds the world was created in Tishrei, which is Midas Adin. Right? So the Rebbeinu Shlom is an Oizer. So that's why Rebbe Eliezer holds that you need to ask for rain on Sukkot. You can't just rely on and don't do anything, because you have our bitachon needs to be on a level of oizer. We need to put in the effort, then the Rebbeinu Shlom helps. Rabbi Yeshua is called Yehoshua, which means Hashem saves me, Moshiach, because he holds the world was created in Nisan. So it's the a conduct of chesed, and that's why Rabbi Yeshua holds that you shouldn't daven for rain in the beginning of Sukkot, only Hashmir Atzeres. You don't have to put in any effort. The Rebbeinu Shlom saves you. Tosfos asked the kasha, and Tosfos' answer is that b'machshava the world was created in Tishrei, and b'maisa in Nisan. Now the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, as mentioned. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua in both machlokes. The world was created. We hold the world was created in Nisan. The world is conducted with midas chesed. We don't mention geshamim, we don't mention rain in the beginning of Sukkot because we rely on the Rabbeinu Shalom. We don't have to even put in the effort. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Midas Hadin. We just had this in Daf Yomi, just yesterday. Moshe Rabbeinu held Yikoyv Hadin Asahar. Moshe Rabbeinu was Midas Hadin. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu named his son Eliezer. Elikei Avi Be'ezri. The Rabbeinu Shleilam helped me. Moshe Rabbeinu holds like Rabbi Eliezer. You need to put in the effort. You put in the effort, the Rabbeinu Shleilam helps you. Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud, his prime disciple, is Yehoshua. Yehoshua holds, no, the Rabbeinu Shleilam conducts the world with Midas HaChesed, and therefore, we don't even need to put in the effort. Eretz Yisrael is called, throughout the Torah, Eretz HaZois. In contrast to Eretz Hazeh. It's not called Eretz Hazeh, it's called Eretz HaZois. From the beginning, when Hashem talks to Avraham Avinu, it's called Eretz HaZois. What that means is that Eretz Yisrael, the difference between Zeh and Zois, Zeh is Zohar, is male, and Zois is female. What's the difference? A Zohar is a Mashpia. A Zohar gives. Right? And the Nekeva represents the Mekabel, the recipient. Eretz Yisrael is a land for people that have the level of bitochen of being an absolute recipient and not giving. That's why we have so many mashallah from Eretz Yisrael. I'm just kidding. But it's called Eretz HaZois. It's a land for people that have that level of bitochen in Moshiach, that the Rabbeinu Shleilam is Moshiach. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was on the level of Yikov Adin Sahar, Eliezer. Yeshua was the one. Yeshua, who Yahweh Levanach? Yeshua is the one that goes into Eretz Yisrael. Because it's Eretz HaZois. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Because talking to the rock is not enough of an effort to bring the Yeshua. He needs, the Rabbeinu Shlom is an Oizer, he's not a Moshiach, according to Moshe Rabbeinu. You need to put in more effort. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael because you hit the rock, not because it was an Avera to hit the rock. Because your level of Bitochen is the level of Midas Adin, and that's why you hit the rock, for the same reason you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. So when it came, when the whole parsha of the Meraglim and Yeshua and Kolev went along with them, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yeshua and he named him. He added a yud to his name. Ko Yoshiach Miatzas Meraglim. Hashem should save you from the Meraglim. Why didn't Moshe daven for Kalev? The answer is because Moshe knew that Kalev would daven for himself. And Kalev did. It says when Kalev went through Hebron, he stopped in by the office and he davened for himself. Right? Because Kalev held like Moshe, you got to put in the effort. He knew that Yeshua wouldn't even daven. Yeshua had such bitochen in the Rabbeinu Shleilam that Rabbeinu Shleilam would save him. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven for him. And the result of that tefillah was that he added a yud to his name. And as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was the manig of Klal Yisrael, as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, that name had to stick. Because the conduct of Klal Yisrael during that time was with Midas Adin. Eliezer. But now when time came for Moshe Rabbeinu to give over the leadership, his name went back to Hosea. He no longer needs the tefillah. now is the type of leadership of Midas HaChesed or Midas HaRachman. Ha'arat HaZois. So it was Huva Yishaya Ben Nun. It was a Shabbos Shal Tiyuzge. It was this in-between Shabbos. Between Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachman. So that is Melech Oizer Umoshia Umagen. Oizer being the Rebbeinu Shalom is my helper, and that is when I believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom is the attribute of Din. That if I put in the effort, the Rebbeinu Shalom will come to assist me, which is the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. Umoshia means the Rebbeinu Shloilam is a Baal HaRachamim. He's compassionate. And even if I don't put in the effort, the Rebbeinu Shloilam will come save me, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Umagain is even the third level, which is the level of Avraham Avinu, that I can even put myself into danger for the Rebbeinu Shloilam's sake. And the Rebbeinu Shloilam will be there to protect me. Oizer Dalim. So he said, the Chayr Dal has nothing. Let's let me delay. No, maybe it's because the Dal, it's the Tzakas Hadal. At least he puts in the effort of Tefillah, perhaps. The Eitz Yosef, on these words, Melech Oizer Moshiach Magen, he says a little bit different. He says that Oizer, the word Oizer, helper, is used when the person merits to see the downfall of his enemies. Meaning the person is suffering from his enemies. The Rebbeinu Shloim comes to his assistance. Not only is he saved, but he's able to see the downfall of his enemies. He brings proof to this. Pasuk says, Hashem li ba'ozri v'ani ara b'sainai. When Hashem comes to my assistance, then I can see the downfall of my enemies. And the reason for this is going back to the same thing that the Avraham Ben Agra said, that Oizer, the rule is that a person can only merit to see the downfall of his enemies if the person himself is worthy of that, of this salvation. If the person is unworthy, it's just the salvation comes totally from Hashem, then the person is not zoicha to see the downfall of his enemies. That's why Lot and his wife, who were only saved in the merit of Avraham Avinu, were not allowed to look back and see the downfall of Sodom, because it wasn't to their own merit. But if somebody is on a level of oizer, meaning that they put in their own effort, and as a result, the Rebbeinu Shloim saves them, the Rebbeinu Shloim assists them, they are able to see the downfall of their enemies. Moshia is when the Rebbeinu Shloim saves the person after the person is in trouble, meaning the person has been attacked by their enemy or by whatever trouble it is, and the Rebbeinu Shloim saves them from that trouble. Then the person does not merit to see the downfall of their enemy. Magain is Hashem protects me that the trouble should never come upon me in the first place. So he says, that's why we say, Ezras avuseinu ato himayola. Ribbono shel Olam, you have been the helper of our forefathers. You're not our helper, because we're not worthy to call you our helper, because we don't put in any effort. Whatever, we're not worthy of your salvation. So Ezra Saviseinu Atamei Olam, you have been the Ezra, you have been the helper of our forefathers. Mogenu Moshiach Elohem v'levnei amachreihem. But for them and their descendants afterwards, you're a Mogen and a Moshiach. But for our Avos, you are also an Ezer. You are an Ezra Saviseinu. For us, you're a Mogen and a Moshiach. Because we can't call whatever we do enough being worthy of the Ribbono shel Olam's salvation. The Vilna Gaon says, and this goes very well with this Eitz Yosef, is that the Ribbono shel Olam is our oizer by giving us the mitzvah saseh. He is our Moshiach by giving us the mitzvah lo saseh. And he is our Mogen by giving us the mitzvah of limud Torah, of learning Torah. Meaning, the Ribbono shel Olam is our oizer by giving us the mitzvah saseh, meaning that we are able to do something. What else could we possibly contribute? So what the Ribbono shel Olam gave us the tools to put in the effort, and that is the positive mitzvahs. That is our tools against the Yetzer Hara. So now, when we perform the mitzvah saseh, so now we have some merit. So the Ribbono shel Olam helps for my Yetzer. Lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu oizroi loyachaloi. If the Ribbono shel Olam wouldn't be our oizer, we wouldn't be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Why is he our oizer? Because we do mitzvah saseh. But once we're attacked by a Yetzer Hara, and we have a Nisoyan, where we're tested. So now, the Ribbono shel Olam gave us mitzvos lo saseh. Hashem gave us prohibitions. So that's by through these prohibitions, we're able to say no to our Yetzer Hara. And we are saved from our Yetzer Hara. I had once a guest by me for Shabbos, a Mashulach from Eretz Yisrael, stayed by me for Shabbos. And he told me that he was a chain smoker. I was a chain smoker. And he went to the doctor. He had some kind of attack or whatever it was. He went to the doctor. The doctor told him that if you want to live, you have to stop smoking. So he said to the doctor, okay, I'll stop smoking. So the doctor said, okay, how do you plan on quitting? I mean, what method are you going to use to quit? So he said, you told me to stop, I'll stop. So the doctor says, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't just stop cold turkey. So he said to the doctor, it wasn't a non-frum doctor, said, you just don't understand what a frum Jew is. A frum Jew, when Hashem says no, the answer is no. And if you tell me I'm not allowed to smoke, I won't smoke. He said he never picked up a cigarette ever since. The Ribbono shel Olam is a Mashiach. He gave us lo saseh. We have it's an ability to say no. And then there is the mitzvah of limud Torah. The Torah HaKadosh is magina u'matzli. The Torah protects a person that the Yetzer Hara shouldn't even attack us in the first place. And perhaps we could say a little bit different. True that Mogen is the Torah HaKadosh, and that by learning Torah protects us, that the Yetzer Hara shouldn't come upon us in the first place. But there's something else that is a Mogen, and that is the concept of Kadosh Atzmocha B'Mutalach, which is the concept of sanctifying ourselves in areas that are permissible. We can't, if we draw the line where enemy territory is, then we're coming very close to the enemy. A yid needs to draw the line a little bit further in order not to get close to enemy territory. That is the magen. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave us this concept of sanctify yourself in areas that are permissible. Don't go to the end of the line. And that protects us, that the enemy shouldn't ever come upon us to begin with. Because I'll say a person should separate himself from tzaddik tes shari heter, from 99 gates of areas that are permissible, that he should not come to one shar of, to one gate of something that's awesome. Melech oizeh de Moshiach umagin. And then we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Magen Avraham. The protector or the shield of Avraham. I mentioned above when we were talking about the Avraham, the Yitzchak, the Yaakov, the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says that when Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, I will make you into a great nation. That is what we say in the Kavram. And I will bless you. I would have thought that we should conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Tamalayma beheye bracha. Says the pasuk. No, you will be the bracha. We only conclude with Avraham and not with all the others. The Sforim tell us that the end of Golus, that we will be redeemed in the Schus of Chesed. Even though there is Avraham, we know is Midasa Chesed, Yitzchak represents Avoida, and Yaakov is Torah. These are the three pillars upon which the world stands. So Yochel Yuchayis Mekula, Gemara says, I would have thought that the Chasime, the end of Golus, will be with all three. Tamaloymar, no, Bachochaisman. The Rebbeinu Shlom told Avraham Avinu, it will be with your Midas Chasadim that the Golus will end. It will not be in the Schus of all three together. So, we need to be mechazik ourselves in Baruch Hashem. The Klal Yisrael is gevaldik. This chesed of Klal Yisrael is unbelievable. We need to be mechazik ourselves more in this area of Gemilas Chasodim, because B'choch Chaisman, it will be in that schus, it will be zeich bekarev to the end of the Golos, B'viyas Mashiach, Tidkenu, B'mehiru, B'meinu, Amen.